Hello, my name is Woody. This is a podcast about Deftones, and my first guest is Chino Moreno from Deftones. How wild is that, right? When my boss, Derek Madden, who will be a guest on the show in the next couple of weeks, told me he got this interview for me, he called me, which is something he never does, unless it's urgent, but he knew how stoked I would be, and I'm sure he wanted to hear my response to the news. But when I took the call, I was in the middle of trying to get my baby daughter to take a nap, so I had to suppress my elation when he told me. And that's pretty much what this entire conversation with Chino was like for me, an exercise in suppressing my elation. This is not the first time I've interviewed Chino. The first time was before they played Knotfest in Somerset, Wisconsin in 2012. I was still pretty young in my career as a DJ, and I was super nervous. The interview wasn't bad, but it wasn't great by any means, and I've been eager to have this opportunity to redeem myself for what I thought was just a bit of a missed opportunity. I really loved in this interview hearing about the earliest stages of creating Ohms, Chino, Steph, and Abe jamming together. How amazing is that? I'd read about the whisper screaming he does in his home, and it was cool to hear him elaborate on that and hear how much care he puts into just a scream. Thinking about what note he wants to hit, how he wants to hit it, that was really cool for me. And I loved hearing the story of my own summer being written during the recording process, the recording of Around the Fur. And I really wish I'd asked which new songs from Ohms were written in the studio like that, because he said there were like three of them. And personally, in the last minute of our conversation, in the middle of me turning into a complete fanboy and telling Chino Moreno how my favorite thing to do since the pandemic started is to sit down with a Henny and ginger ale and watch Deftones live on YouTube, and then he mentions he's never had a Henny and ginger ale. I got to put my favorite singer onto my favorite drink, and it was a moment that I'll never forget. Yet somehow, it's probably not even in the top 10 out-of-this-world moments in my life that this band has been at the center of. Now, this conversation is on YouTube, so you can watch it. The original purpose of the interview was for use across the company that I work for, but when you've started a podcast about Deftones and then you get to interview Chino Moreno, you make it the first episode of your podcast, right? That's what I'm going to do. Now, the one on YouTube does not include the last moment of our conversation when I actually told Chino that I was starting a podcast about Deftones, and he seemed sort of excited until I told him the name, which I'll admit, not my favorite. It's not. But I'll share some other ideas that I had for names of the podcast at the end of this episode. But without further ado, my conversation with Chino Moreno.
Yo.
Hey, Chino, how you doing? Yeah.
Good, how are you? Sorry I'm late, man.
I heard you were out on your bike.
I was, yeah. I had to hurry up and get home. My daughter has school right now, so she's using like all the bandwidth at the house through her Zoom school. So I went to a cafe. I just rode to a cafe so I could do some other interviews online, and then she has a break between 11:30 and 1. So now I'm safe.
That's cool, man. I appreciate you making time. I feel like this is a different environment than I've seen you in on the interviews that I've seen lately. This room looks really cool. Like, is this a room where you make music?
Yeah, it's my little studio space at the house. It's just a room sort of downstairs. So it's not completely like, you know, studio, like a soundproof or anything like that. I can hear like footsteps upstairs, my dog's running around. It's not really, you know, it's a place where I can kind of do some, you know, semi-professional stuff, but it's basically just like makeshift spot for me to, you know, to do that kind of stuff.
That's cool. Well, I really appreciate you, first of all, busting ass on your bike to come and see me and to make this time for me. I am super excited to talk about Ohms. Man, what a tremendous, really the whole buildup to the release or the announcement of this album, the teases, the album art being revealed, and then the video, of course, it all really elevates the song and comes together. I would love to hear you talk about that. Those things in particular, the album artwork and the video and sort of what it's been like introducing Ohms.
It's been cool, man. It's been the one thing that sort of kept, you know, I'd be able to kind of bury my head in all this stuff, and you know, all this, obviously this, everybody's kind of been on lockdown, so it's been the one thing that's kind of like, you know, kept me occupied, I guess, last, you know, 6 months, whatever. But and then it also bought us a little bit more time to kind of like because I think the original we were supposed to release in late July, so we're a couple months, you know, behind on that. But it actually, I think, worked out for the best, because usually when we're in this stage of, like, you know, all doing all the kind of final touches on the release, as far as, like, you know, the video, the editing of the video, you know, the final cut, the artwork, the, you know, everything that kind of comes along. Usually we're like in the middle of a tour, you know, we're starting a tour and we're out there. So it's like two sides of the brain trying to, like, you know, whatever. And since we're not obviously out there touring, I was able to spend a little bit more time, like, focusing on a lot of these little details. And so far, like, yeah, the rollout has been awesome. Pretty happy with, you know, the way things are working. So coming out so far.
So what are those things that you've gotten the opportunity to pay attention to that ordinarily you wouldn't have, those details?
Well, like, I think, like, the video itself, you know, like really going in and having a time coded version of it sitting there, and like scene by scene, like going and sort of, like, you know, working on the editing of that. We have another video coming out next week. And yeah, pretty much like a week. So doing the same thing on that. And then, yeah, like even before that, the album titles, like, usually it's weird because the song titles, we always, like, start song, we write songs, but we usually start with, like, working titles, like, and they pretty much last all the way throughout the mixing process. And then before we master the record, it's like, okay, I gotta, like, have real song titles for these. It kind of works that way, I think, especially for me, because I use my lyrics are always, like, the music is always first, and then the sort of, like, the melodies, my cadence, how I'm gonna sing on it, and then the work, and then the lyrics come, and that they're pretty much inspired by the music. And then after that's done, then I have to sort of step back from it and say, okay, well, you know, to title them all. So it's kind of like a process, you know, going through steps of figuring it out. You know, so just doing that, choosing the artwork, all the liner notes, all that kind of stuff, whatever. Usually that's always like in a panic at the end, like, oh, we got to get this finished. But we were able to kind of, like, really sort of take our time. And I think that it, you know, definitely the attention to detail, I think, is a little bit more present, I think, with this release.
Is it a collaborative effort between, like, the entire band is coming together with the song titles, the video, all of that? Uh-oh, a little pause in the video.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you?
Okay, yeah. See, your internet connection is unstable. That's what they tell me.
Oh, okay. I thought it was me for a second. I was worried I was getting exposed.
Yeah. I need to call my daughter upstairs and tell her to
chill out.
To not be on our computer right now, because she's at her school ended at, or she's on break from 11:30 to 1, so she shouldn't be on right now. So I'm gonna text her. We can continue.
All right. Thank you. So did you say that that's all a collaborative effort, all of that process with picking the songs and that's all been a unified effort this time around?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much, you know, I feel like we're at our best when everybody's very engaged in making decisions, whether it be from, you know, from the songwriting especially, but and, you know, in all the facets of what it is that we do. I mean, I think the strongest points of Deftones is the collective effort, you know, what everybody brings to the table. So I think that's when we're at our best, is when everybody is kind of engaged in that way.
I have a lot of questions about the songwriting in particular. At what point do you guys decide on the sound? Like, how does that happen? Because every Deftones album has a unique quality. And this, if Ohm's the title track is any indication, like, this sonically has a totally different feel and vibrance. How do you guys come together and decide, oh, that's it, that's what we're going to do?
It's weird because it never actually happens that way. We've rarely ever sat down and sort of discussed, like, what it is that we're trying to aim for. It's more or less I feel like it's always best as well as when it happens sort of organic, get together. Someone starts making some noise, you know, whether it be through a beat or a guitar riff or, you know, whatever. Sometimes Frank will just make a sound or, you know, whatever. And someone will start playing up, and then the next person joins in, and like before you know it, like we've constructed something without like knowing what it is that we were aiming for. And sometimes it doesn't work too. Sometimes like we'll working on something and then like, you know, we'll get a few hours like down the road on it and just be like, and just like kind of put it to the side and start working on something else. Everything that we, you know, it's not every time we get together, like we are brilliant. You know what I mean? There's trial and error. But really I feel like the best part of best is when everybody's like, oh, someone has something. You're like, oh, I like that. Let me try this. And then it just builds like that. And the songs that usually are the best songs, I feel like the ones that, you know, it's like us communicating through our instruments as opposed to like us sitting around talking about like how many times we're going to play this riff or how many, like usually it just happens. Like we know each other so well. We've been playing together for so long and we've been friends since we were like little kids pretty much. So we kind of know each other, like kind of where someone's going to go with things at times, whatever. So it's almost like this thing that you just kind of sink into as opposed to, you know, planning it out.
What was it though about Ohms in particular, that made you decide to release that song first?
That's always a tough decision to make because, you know, it's hard to pick one song that's pretty much going to be people's sort of, you know, their first impression of what it is that's come. I mean, I feel like this record, is, I don't want to say it all over the place, but it definitely is not just, you know, that song. That song is one piece of you know of what this record is. But at the same time, I felt like it had a lot of the elements that Deftones are sort of you know what makes us special in whatever way. And the fact that it's like it's dynamic. You know, there's riff. It's riff oriented. You know. It's not a typical format either. If you really look at the song format itself, it's like, you know, it's not like verse chorus, you know, verse chorus bridge, you know, chorus out, you know, it's kind of weird the way that the song is formatted. So, I feel like it was something that sort of is kind of pushed forward a little bit, like Deftones pretty much, you know, 2020, but it had these familiar things as well. And you know, it just seemed to me like, I think it'd be for someone's first impression, like I said, it's always hard to think, but I think we felt like pretty strongly about that being the first thing people hear.
Do you, specifically about that, song, is that you like screaming at the beginning and then at the end? It's not, what is that texture? It's so,
it's something that, Frank designed in the studio. It's like probably running through like seven different pedals, and he really got experimental, like in the interlude. So like on the record, like almost every song sort of blends into one another. So what you're hearing there is sort of the outro of the song before it, just where they decided to cut the song.
No, but I'm thinking more specifically about where the drum kicks in. It's like where the drum kicks in, where it's I can hear this almost like filtered noise or something, and then it I feel like I heard it at the end. I didn't see you screaming in the video, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But I did hear you about like you were talked about like you were like whisper screaming at some point. I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah. That's just when I'm writing when I'm at home. Because like I was saying to you earlier, like this studio's not really soundproof. So like I have this sort of I don't know, this hang up about like people hearing me sing or come up with ideas. I'm kind of self-conscious about it, even though it's like my wife and my daughter who care, you know, who would care, whatever, the lone ones here. But still like so when I'm writing something in here, I'll have my microphone and I will and I'll kind of just, especially if it's a screen part, I know the tone of the sound I want to be, whatever. So I'll sort of just like a whisper scream, just to lay down the idea so I'll remember it, you know, pretty much. But not like actually be screaming, but just sort of like so I can figure out the note and the cadence of how I want it to go, basically.
That's so cool. That's really rad. It's very interesting to me to think about your process and how you decide to go about creating some of the sounds that, you know, a lot of us, well, that first of all, they change when they're live, and then it's always different. It's really interesting to think about even how Frank is creating the sounds that as songs blend. Do you find that you guys are trying to employ different techniques or new techniques in as you create new music, or is it just about exploring different sounds? Is that one and the same?
Yeah, I think both. I mean, there's always, I think we're always trying to expand on what it is we've done. I mean, I know for sure that we never like say, oh, well, we need to make another song like this song or that song, another song that we've made in the past, or we should follow this formula that we use for this or whatever. I think, you know, we like to discover new formulas, whether it be, I should say that, you know, I don't think we're like reinventing ourselves, whatever, but it's just trying to expand, I guess, you know, a little bit more with each time we get in together and to do stuff. And sometimes that something as simple as just not sticking with your first idea. Laying something down and then stepping away from it for a few days and then coming back and listening to it and then say, oh, I'm going to approach it from a whole different perspective. And I think doing that diligence sometimes, lets you opens up, you know, doorways, pathways for you to go somewhere else that wasn't, you know, that we were meant to go. Sometimes your first instinct is what's best, but being able to do that due diligence is something that we've allowed ourselves to do a lot on this record, I think, and kind of lends to why it kind of took us so long to make it. I mean, we started it like almost maybe a year and a half ago when we first started playing it, like writing ideas. So it's kind of, you know, a timely thing, but I think that's lent us, you know, the opportunity to be able to do stuff like that.
I was going to ask if that was the purpose behind taking the break or what the purpose was. Cause I remember you guys announced like the new album was coming after the first Dia de los Deftones and then, or wasn't long after that. And then you talked about how you were going to step away for a little while. And I was wondering what you were hoping to achieve by that. Is that just giving the music room to breathe so that you come at it with a fresh ear?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, even when we were in the writing process of this, like we would do, for us to actually get together and work, it's sort of a process because everybody lives in different parts of, you know, the country. So we have to kind of plan it out. But what we do is we'd all meet up, whether it be in Sacramento, we still have a studio, there we've had since the mid-90s. So we set up shop there, and then we have a place like a lockout in North Hollywood that we've been using for a lot of years now too. So we'll like we'd all either meet up in Sacramento or meet up in LA and spend like a week and just like everybody just flush out, like get together and just lock ourselves in the room and just make a bunch of noise and then record it, like record what we're doing, and then everybody go home and then sort of like be able to sort of like step back from it. And then, you know, obviously gravitate back towards when we meet up again. We did that like, probably we meet up every month, over a year for like a week, sometimes 2 weeks. And this way we can sort of maintain our normal home lives as well. But you know, like to take off to work. And then when we were there, like literally worked like a normal job, like we go in, well, not a normal job, but we'd go in around like noon at least every day and then work till like 6 in the evening. So like a 6-hour like block where we were just locked ourselves in a room, you know what I mean? And, I think we were being, you know, that was the best way to be productive. And then, like I said, stepping away for a few weeks and then coming back, and then the stuff that we felt strongly about, we would gravitate towards that, obviously as a collective, you know, like mind.
Are there any moments from the making of this album that you think you will remember in particular? Anything that you think you'll look back on and really key into when you think about the making of this album?
I mean, there's a lot of it, because the fact that it was done over, a period of time, there's so many little moments to look back for. I mean, from the time that we first got together, you know, it was just, when we first got together, it was just Stefan, Abe, and myself. The very first thing that we did when we wanted to write this record. And that was kind of like just an experiment to like, to sort of get like back to basics, I guess, where, you know, us three are the, we started the group, you know, in the late 80s. And we were in high school at the time. And, I like, we went down and to that place in North Hollywood I was telling you about, and I didn't even bring a guitar. I just set up a microphone. Steph had his guitar cabinet and Abe set up his drums, and like us three just like in a little triangle. And we just started like, I wanted to see like just basic, like I wanted to like experiment just like basic, just us three, like, you know, like us in a room, like we were in Stephen's garage, you know, when we were kids, and like what would happen, you know what I mean? Without all the, I mean, obviously, you know, we wanted, it's not that we didn't want Frank and Sergio involved, but I wanted just like the core of like, just like see what, you know, would happen, especially since our last record was a little disjointed because of Stefan's, his, you know, he wasn't as involved, I think, in the initial like foundation of the songwriting. Yeah. So to have like, I really wanted to make sure that that was something that was like, present. And so I think that was like, you know, and more than anything, it was just like bonding thing. It was like really rad for us three just be in a room and talk shit and just play, you know, just make noise. And so that was like a really cool time. And then, you know, obviously it being in the studio, tracking this stuff is always fun. I mean, we recorded it, the music at Jim Henson Studios in Hollywood. And just a lot of great moments of, you know, like a couple, I want to say maybe three of the songs that are on that made the record were actually written in the studio. So like very like a last minute kind of things, which those always seem to be some of my favorite parts, because it's like those things when they happen organically like that.
It's like lightning awesome. In a bottle, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really awesome. Does that happen a lot where you guys are creating songs in an instant like that?
It doesn't happen all the time, but I would say almost with every record that we've done, we usually always end up writing like a couple things in the studio, and I think it's a special part, I think, usually about all our records. I mean, like I can think of like even Around the Fur, the song that starts off the record, My Own Summer, like that song, like we went in the studio, we didn't even have that song. And it was one of the last things we recorded. Like, it just like, you know, it just happened. Like Stefan, I was downstairs in the basement and I hear Stefan playing this riff, like, nah, 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 nah. I ran upstairs. I was like, what is that? He's like, oh, I'm just making it up. And he's whatever. And literally Chi was right there with his bass, or do, 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 start playing the bass line. Like literally song came together like in 45 minutes, like whatever. And had like, you know, like, imagine that album without that song on it. You know, it's kind of crazy.
I refuse to imagine that. Is this like the best time in your band's career? It seems like you guys have everything modulating. Like you've got this new album coming out. You've got the reissue that you're doing with White Pony to celebrate something that you did 20 years ago. You've got the beer. There's so many things that you guys are, all your merch is awesome. Like hands down the best band t-shirts, period. Like, is there something that you have figured out? What's going so well for you guys?
You know, that's a hard question. I mean, some luck, obviously, I would think, but I don't know, man. I don't know if there's any sort of like secret, you know, or ingredient to why we've been so blessed to like be in this predicament in this time, you know, in this year especially. I like to always attribute, like, I think a lot of our success or a majority of our success to the fact that we are really close friends. Like, we actually enjoy each other's company. Like, I really love the people that I work with. You know what I mean? They are my best friends. And, you know, but like brothers, sometimes like we won't see eye to eye on something, whatever, but like, it's like so petty. You know what I mean? that like to ever like for like nothing is I think has like ever tempted us. I mean, even at our lowest points, like has tempted us to like not do this anymore, because we actually do enjoy it, and I think that really like is like at the core of our success. You know what I mean? We're not the best musicians in the world. You know what I mean? We're not, you know, we don't like have any secret formula or anything we do. I honestly think there's just like when we get together, something special happens. And I think that all five of us are very lucky to like landed, you know, in each other's, you know, lives.
I think there's certainly something to be said for the lucky aspect of it, and for you guys to make a friendship work for so long is certainly. Mm-hmm. I've got some lifelong friends myself, so I know the value in that. But it also you can't ignore, I think, the intention, and I wonder if there are any like decisions that you guys have made, whether it be specific to this album or just. Band of your I know that you always talked about going, you know, the other way with White Pony and mm-hmm. breaking from the new metal scene, but are there other like decisions that you're like, that was great, I'm glad we did that?
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, when we make decisions, sometimes it, you know, some of the decisions are hard because like we've sort of walked away from certain opportunities, whatever, you know, like, you know, I remember specifically, like, even there was like, remember they used to have on MTV, like they would have like spring break, like where they would like be like in like Lake Havasu, not Lake Havasu, they'd be like somewhere in Florida or something, whatever, and they would like, they'd have a band play like in front of the swimming pool kind of thing, like whatever, blah, blah. And I remember like getting asked to do that, and I remember at the time like thinking that it was kind of hokey and like not wanting to do it. And like, and they were just like, oh, what, you know, how, you know, like the label and like other, like our management were just like, oh, like, what is wrong with you? Like, why wouldn't you do this? Do you know any people watch this, whatever? And I remember specifically like turning it down, not doing it. And I just felt weird about it. I thought it was just weird to be playing like in front of like a frat kind of thing. Like it just didn't seem right. And actually, I remember actually Limp Bizkit ended up doing it because we said no, and they did. That was when they did the George Michael song, whatever. And you know, that was like basically like their launching pad for like, you know, like with the, you know, made them huge, whatever, too. So like, but it's like making a decision like that. It's like I was being told like no, you know what I mean? There's a lot of decisions like that, whatever, and not always right. I mean, I might have turned some things down that would have been beneficial to us in a right way, but with something like that, like I kind of in retrospect now, I'm like I'm still sort of glad we didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like right now, that video would exist of us on there, probably looking like fools. You know what I mean? And don't trip. There's probably still videos of us looking like fools and doing a lot of other things. But you know, just like little things like that. I mean, we've had to make a lot of decisions like that over our career, and I guess just trying to do the right thing. You know what I mean?
Do you ever watch those videos, by the way? Do you ever watch videos of yourself perform? Because there's hundreds and thousands on the internet, right? Like there's a ton.
I cannot watch them. I can't.
No?
Whatever.
Film? Like to study what you're doing?
I should. I mean, it probably would be beneficial, but I'll sit there and critique the shit out of whatever, and then I'll just like all the wind in my sails will just be gone. Like I'll seriously get bundled myself because there's some years that you know we weren't at our best, you know, especially live. It's like, you know, and it's hard to watch some of that stuff.
Some of it is also really, really amazing to watch. It's become like my favorite thing to do over the course of the pandemic is pour a glass of Henny and ginger ale and sit down in front of YouTube and watch some Deftones. It's dope.
Henny and ginger ale. I never thought of that.
Bro, for real? It never fails. Henny and ginger ale. That's a Mayor Hawthorne song. You should, yeah. Henny and ginger ale. Get with it. That's where it's at. You can pour the Henny strong in a Henny and ginger ale too.
What do they call it? Just is there a name?
Henny and ginger ale. Yeah. Just and I would recommend either Seagram's or Canada Dry. Don't go with like the Schweppes or whatever that's trash. Don't do it.
Yeah. I will try.
I could spend a ton of time asking you more questions, but I'm going to let you go because you've got plenty of other things to do. Your daughter's got to get to school. Thank you for making artful music that slaps for tons and tons of years. I really appreciate it.
Right on, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it too.
No doubt. Yeah, yeah, man. Have a great day. And I'm going to throw this in just shamelessly. I am starting a podcast about your band. It's going to start next week. So I hope you get to check it out.
What's it going to be called?
Changing the House of Pods. Changing the House of Pods. My boss said it has to be something that a casual Deftones fan would be able to just find with and recognize that it had to be you. And I struggled over like calling it something hokey like that. But the graphic design person here at our radio station did an amazing job with the logo. I think it looks dope. And when I was a kid, I didn't really get to talk to my friends about your band. Not most of them like hip hop. So now I'm taking advantage of this opportunity. And I think we got some cool guests lined up, and we're just going to talk about your band. And I hope it serves you guys well. I really do.
Right.
Just about celebrating Deftones, man. Yeah. Thanks
That's
a lot.
Awesome.
I
appreciate it.
All right.
Right on, man.
Have a great day, brother.
You take care of yourself. All right. Thanks.
Likewise. I've interviewed several artists on Zoom or Instagram Live through the pandemic. And there's something about both of us being in our home environments, like peeking into each other's lives, that has made the experience more personal, particularly with Chino, somebody I've admired more than half of my life. I am deeply grateful for the opportunity to speak with him, and I really hope to do it again soon. And I really wish I'd come up with a better name for the podcast. Some of the other ideas I had were Guns, Razors, Mics, Debris of the Past, which of course is a lyric from Ohms, The Worship Play Pod, which I thought was kind of cool, Over Seven Words, and probably not the best one, I Got Bored and Started a Podcast. None of them great, but hopefully you can look past that and continue to enjoy future conversations. The podcast with my big bro Pablo, the afternoon DJ on 93X, is out now. Next week, I'll speak with Brendan Garone from Incendiary. I've chatted for a long time with Vesanik, the founder of Deftones Live. So please come back for all of that. And if you want to reach out to me, you could do that on Twitter or Instagram. It's at Woodbruh, WOODBRUH. If you want to reach out to me about the pod, I would love to speak with you. Thank you for listening to Change in the House of Pods.